The last time we explored the venture capital investment market on this podcast, it hit new records in Q1 of 21. Will that continue in Q2? We'll discuss on this edition of In the Know. I'm Justin Domini. KPMG's latest Venture Pulse report outlines how VC investments in the U.S. did, in fact, reach yet another record high during Q2 of 21, slightly surpassing Q1's total. A wide variety of U.S.-based companies attracted $500 million plus funding rounds during the quarter, including autonomous driving company Waymo and aerospace-focused SpaceX. The report also outlines the red-hot IPO market and the continuation of 2021 being the year of the SPAC. To take a deeper dive, KPMG's private enterprise Americas leader Connor Moore sat down with Shivani Sapori, who leads KPMG's Silicon Valley private enterprise practice, to discuss some of the key findings from the latest Venture Pulse report. Here's that conversation.
So Connor, it looks like we had another record quarter in terms of fundraising and exit activity in Q2, both in the US and globally. According to KPMG's Q2 Venture Pulse report, there was a massive number of funding rounds this quarter in the U.S. with a few very large investments over $500 million. Can you talk a little bit about the types of sectors and companies that raised really large rounds this quarter?
Yeah, Shivani, it definitely was a bumper quarter. Again, I want to say actually in the report, I think the financing that we've seen year to date is almost the same as the record annual period that we've seen in the past, just to give a sense of magnitude as to how big the dollars were this quarter. And the theme that we've seen over the last few quarters continues in that there's diversity in terms of the companies that are actually securing the financing. So some of the big ones this quarter, we've seen biotech, which obviously has tentacles to the whole pandemic. We've seen gaming, we've seen aerospace, we've seen a lot of stuff around, you know, delivery and people kind of figuring out, okay, well, even when we come out of the pandemic, I'm still probably going to get more stuff delivered than I did in the past. And then probably even a special call out this quarter would be things around like electric vehicles, auto tech, things like that. There just seems to be a significant level of investment in those companies. And again, there's some logic behind it. You know, people's behaviors with respect to their cars post-pandemic will be different, given that most of our cars have been sat in our driveways for the last 18 months. Also, people thinking more about the environment, et cetera. So the electric vehicle charging stuff, it makes sense to me why it is what it is. And I would expect that to continue going forward.
Now, the other thing that I was seeing was that all the fundraising seems to be very heavily concentrated in later stages, similar to what we saw in Q1. What do you think is causing that? And do you think that trend of focusing the high dollars in the later stage investments continue?
I think it will likely continue for some period of time. I think there's a few things that are driving it. Like there still continues to be a bunch of dry powder that's out there. And you can see that in the report where we talk about the fundraising that the actual VC funds themselves have done. But I think the other thing that's out there's still a perception that there's a bunch of pent up value sitting in these private companies that can get unlocked in a successful IPO market. And obviously the IPO market year to date has been pretty successful. So if I'm an investor and I'm looking for value and I can say, well, if I go with this later stage thing, there's definitely less risk associated as opposed to kind of trying to find that gem back in the earlier stage. Until that perception goes away, until people think like, look, these later stage valuations are so high that there's really no value in the IPO, I think we're going to continue to see it going the way it has over the last few quarters. I think also there's an element to it too, where because there's so much powder available, people are also kind of trying to optimize exactly when they go public. So maybe they do a later stage round because again, there's the demand there. They do a later stage round, they get a good valuation that allows them to, you know, maybe take a few extra months to build their path to profitability story, things like that, which I think is another contributing factor.
Yes, so I definitely want to talk a little bit more about the IPO market. But before we move on to that topic, the other thing I was noticing as far as the investments are concerned is that there's been a much larger uptick in institutional investors over the last couple of years that are putting more money into these large VC funds along with corporate funds. So have you been noticing the same thing across the portfolio that you work with or in the marketplace itself?
Yeah, definitely. Kind of breaking it up into two pieces. I think the corporate investors, it's been this way for a while, but I think the pace of everything has just picked up. Like when you think about what's happened in the last 18 months, like it is one of those revolution periods, which it would have been great for there to be a better catalyst than a pandemic, but there's just been the pace of change is so rapid that many of these corporates are looking and say, look, we can go try keep up by doing a whole bunch of R&D activities. But to be honest, I don't know that we can deploy the R&D activities as quickly as we would need to keep up. Therefore, investing in companies with kind of tangential complementary offerings to the corporate makes sense, which I think we continue to see that growth. And then, on the institutional side, I think everybody's looking for a place to put all this money that's sitting on the sideline, and the VCs continue to deliver exceptional results, and that's only getting more so because of the IPO environment that we're in. So as long as those two things are happening, I think you're going to see more and more institutions putting a meaningful amount of their capital into the VCs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's a pretty good segue then into talking about the IPO market. So it has been a really incredibly strong quarter. It seems like we're already beating last year's record of exits, and we're only in Q2. So what do you think is contributing to that, and can you comment on the IPO trends in general at the moment?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, the Venture Pulse report has some actually pretty spectacular numbers in terms of both the number of companies going public and the dollar value of those exits. And I go back to the earlier comment about there's still like that pent up value. There's a number of companies that, you know, have kind of been on the cusp of going public for several years, and there's still kind of some of them to be flushed through the system. So I think it will continue for some period of time. I think there's also now more optionality in terms of going public, right? There's the SPAC phenomenon. There's, I think, a couple of quarters ago, there might have only been two companies that ever did direct listings. Now there's a bunch more that have done direct listings. The exchanges have allowed for companies to do a direct listing and bring some money into the company. So just like no matter what stage you're at, there is a kind of an IPO format that suits you, so to speak. So there's likely never been a better time to go down the IPO path. And you couple that with the exit history and the successful day one pops, et cetera, that we've seen. I think that that contributes to where we're at. And it will continue for some period of time, I think.
Now, one of the things that I noticed a couple years back is the IPO markets weren't quite as strong. So we just didn't see the same level of exits that we were seeing. And a lot of companies are pulling in extra capital from the private markets to last longer as a private company. It seems like right now we're seeing a bit of both, where you've got companies that are still staying private for a much longer period of time, but the IPO market still quite strong. So are you actually seeing more companies go to market earlier in their cycle, or are you still seeing them as a larger private company before going out?
I think more the latter. I mean, there are going to be exceptions where there's just something that like time to market is critically important. But I think when you talk about what was happening a few years ago, I think there was experience a few years ago where there was companies going public, but then they would go public and their IPO valuation was actually less than their last preferred financing. I think that gave people a lot of pause. I think investors are like, look, let's just optimize on what the IPO value is going to be, pay a little bit more attention to demonstrating to, as to why you're going to take this really high growth model and make it profitable at some point in time. So I think that's why we're seeing private companies stay private longer. And I think it just optimizes that IPO at the end of the day.
Now, you had mentioned SPAC exits as another way to go public. And last quarter, we talked about SPACs and specifically how the SEC was focusing on the accounting treatment of warrants and how that might impact the mergers. Any new updates on the regulatory matter or other items of note relating to these SPAC transactions?
Well, I'd say, you know, that accounting issue, I think it's kind of worked its way through the system. And while it might have delayed some offerings, I don't think it actually kind of eliminated any or took any off the table. I think we talked last time that might have been a precursor to the SEC coming out with additional regulatory stuff. I don't think we've seen that yet, but I would think that is still a possibility as we move on down the road. I think one of the things that's changed that has seen maybe a slowdown in just the sheer number of new SPACs being formed and transactions is that there kind of was a view that going public via SPAC was a significantly faster, less onerous, cheaper route than a traditional IPO. And I think in most cases, people have figured out that that's likely not the case. Like you still have to take your private company and build the rigor and muscle memory at that company so that they can function effectively as a public company. And I think people are realizing that that takes exactly the same length of time to do, whether you're going down a traditional IPO path or a SPAC path. So I think they will continue, but I think that that kind of explains why we're seeing fewer this quarter than last quarter.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you expect that SPACs will continue to get the same level of investment that they were getting earlier in the year and later last year? Or do you expect that to slow down too in the next 6 months to a year's time?
You know, I want to lean on the fact that it will likely continue for some period of time because there is the capital available. And I think until there's kind of a proof point that SPAC IPOs perform at a lesser rate than traditional, then I don't, or if there's some spectacular failure with a company going out too early or something like that, absent those things, I still think that people will be investing in SPACs. So hopefully we don't hit the point where there is a spectacular failure. So absent that, I think it's here to stay.
For the rest of the year?
You know, I think we'll continue to see the fundraising in the volumes that we've seen it. I don't see a slowdown in IPO activity. What I think will be interesting to see is now that the U.S. in particular and other parts of the world are opening up again, kids are going back to school, people are going back to offices, people are starting to drive again, people are taking vacations. It will be interesting to see the impact that that has on consumer behavior and whether that will sort of change the types of companies that are receiving the investments and the types of companies that are going public. So it'll be interesting to see. But in terms of kind of the buoyancy, I would expect that to continue for the rest of the year.
Now, any last thoughts?
I am looking forward to sort of contributing to our IPO Insights report, which should be issued by the end of July. And there may be some more stuff in there. But other than that, I think we've covered it.
Great. Thank you so much, Connor, for taking the time to chat with me about the Venture Pulse report today.
Thanks, Shivani. My pleasure.
Hope you enjoyed the conversation. To view the Venture Pulse report, go to read.kpmg.us/VenturePulse. That's read.kpmg.us/VenturePulse. And to connect with a KPMG private enterprise advisor in your region, email enterprise@kpmg.com. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on In the Know.